Hello, everybody, and welcome to Turn to Page, Season 6, Book 3 of Choose Cthulhu, The Shadow over Innsmouth. Not Innsmouth, no matter what you may think. It's Innsmouth, probably. Probably. Are you ready, Raps?
I just don't know if I would choose Cthulhu. I mean, there's a lot of good options.
Yeah. It's like a dating game.
Yeah,
is there
exactly.
Another option?
Shoggoth has like that fringe, and oh my god, that fringe, right? But like, Nyatep is like into really cool bands, and I feel like they could be introducing me into like some genres that I haven't really spent much time in. Like, Eldritch Gregorian Chantcore is getting really, really strong, I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with whoever
Cthulhu
this man is?
Cthulhu drives an old car. Like, sorry?
Hold on. Is that a positive or a negative?
Well, it's kind of beat up, right? Like, it's not well taken care of. Like, I could definitely, like, see, like, if Cthulhu turned up one day to school in, like, a red 79 Ford Mustang, like, waxed to perfection, obviously I'd be swooning. But
yeah.
No, this is like a beat up, like, A to B car. Like, it's like a Suita. It's a knockoff of a knockoff of a Japanese brand from the 60s. It's just not a good look.
Okay.
And also, anytime he opens his door, like, a bunch of cans of energy drink fall out. It's just not a vibe.
Yeah. You get in the passenger seat, you put your feet down, you... It's just... I get it.
Like, he always says sorry about that, but, like...
Yeah.
If you have to say it every time, clean your car.
I get it. You don't get a lot of passengers, that's fine. This man on the cover, it makes me feel something. I'm trying to figure out what he is. This cover guy, I can't tell if I love him or if I am uncomfortable. Maybe both. I guess that's
the thing.
That's Eldritch Horror for you, isn't it? I suppose.
Exactly. So we're dealing with the novel Shadow over Innsmouth. So people might be familiar with a couple of the vibes that are from this book. It is a very, very influential property. People will have experienced the story of this book in some way, either by reference or by recreation.
I have even.
This is a fish man of some kind.
Yes, hello.
Just out on the table, this man is a fish man of some kind. He
got
is
gills.
Clearly...
I don't think that you're really blowing the lid off this. So for people,
exactly.
Hopefully.
He's got gills where a mohawk would be, as well as where mutton chops would be. My man is a fish. But the thing is, he also has this, like, open palm expression,
yeah,
which is very, like,
inviting.
Hey, welcome into my home. It's so inviting.
Yeah, welcome into my small padded chamber.
And that's how it—that's when it gets malicious again. Is,
yes.
Welcome into my home, but also it's, like, clearly a rundown asylum.
Yes. I mean, you can't, you know. Can't pick and choose too much.
To be fair, I don't know what rent is like in this area. Squatting in the asylum might be perfectly reasonable.
It's true. Well, hey, you want to take us, I guess, to the back page?
Absolutely. In search of your origins, you travel to the decaying streets of a seaside town full of terrible ancient mysteries. What are the abhorrent denizens of Innsmouth hiding? What's buried in the deep waters of the Devil Reef? Are you willing to risk your own sanity just to know the truth?
No, there's a quick episode.
Yeah, fair enough.
Nice.
Cool. Turn to page 0 and close the book.
Yeah, it's, you know, just been sick the past few weeks. So just, you know what? No, I can't handle it.
Yeah.
No, I can't. Never mind. That's the only way to win the Choose Cthulhu books is to not play. I'm still
strange
convinced,
game.
two books in, I am convinced that the only way to win is to just never engage, don't play the game, and yet here we are again, because I need to.
What was ultimately our reward last time was we, at best, forgot about it.
that really was the best case scenario ending for us, was truly amnesia. That was it.
Yeah.
The sweet release of not remembering everything we went through was our reward. So, yeah.
Woo!
I don't know. Woo-wee. That's
Let's see if we can make our way all the way to a blank slate this time.
Yeah, remember when we were excited to get, like, bikes and stuff? I think that just getting a bike in one of these books actually would be a genuine good end.
I would immediately turn to that page.
Yeah. Anyway, here we go. The heat wave that will take over the summer of 1927 is just getting started, and the sun is shining high in the sky. You're in Newburyport Station, about to take the train to Arkham, where your mother's family has originated. It's been barely 2 weeks since you came of age, and you're celebrating by walking around New England while the warm months still last. Although it's mainly a tourist jaunt, you will also be taking notes of all the artistic monuments that you encounter in every city. This way, you can get a head start on your university studies. You are at the ticket office when you discover that the fare of the steam train that had been recommended to you is higher than you had anticipated. Frowning and somewhat crestfallen, you turn around. Just then, you hear an agent call over the counter.
"Do you want to go to Arkham?"
he asks condescendingly. You nod and reach to your pocket. He smiles.
"These sophisticated trains are not designed for short-distance travels. Like from here to Arkham, it's just not worth the price. If it's the safest way to travel, that's for sure. But if you're planning to head over there, I'd recommend something more suited for your budget."
Gestures to a bike. Gestures to a bike. Turn to page 2.
"There's a very old bus, dang, that could take you to Arkham. It goes through Innsmouth, you may have heard of it. It's a little old town. Very few Newburyport folks have been seen in it. Many grotesque stories about that place go around. The bus is run by an Innsmouth fellow, Joe Sargent. Despite it all, he's always on time. You could take the next one, which leaves the square at 7 p.m, or wait until 10 a.m. if you wish."
You stare at the square for a few seconds with your hands still in your pocket, mentally counting your money. Your relatives are waiting for you, and your holidays won't allow for such a change of plans. However, you still think that the steam train is too expensive for your budget, and you must admit that Innsmouth promises some unsettling stories that have awoken your adventurous spirit for some reason. If you decide to take the bus to Innsmouth, turn to 35. If, on the other hand, you'd rather take the train to Arkham, turn to 17.
What is going to be on that page? Like, if you'd rather take the train to Arkham, turn to 17. 17. You don't have enough money for the train. Go to 35. Like,
I mean, well, we need to find out.
Yeah.
Hey, here we go. After an awkward silence, you look at the agent and shake your head slowly. You wouldn't want to keep your relatives waiting more than necessary. If you can manage to get your money back when you get to Arkham, you'll have to shorten your itinerary, but that's the way it goes. You ask for a window seat and drag your valise to the platform. With any luck, you'll get to see Innsmouth from afar and draw some sketches. But now is definitely not the time to visit. The end.
Good ending!
Good ending. Genuinely good ending for Choose Cthulhu. We don't play the game. All right. Okay, fine. Fine. 35.
Which is everything but Cthulhu.
We'll do the
a valise, as I just looked up, is a small traveling bag. What a lovely word.
What a nice little one. You know you're on a tight schedule, and your relatives might worry if you don't make it on time. But you don't want to spend so much money up front and then not have enough for your trip. Your best option is to follow the agent's advice and stop by Innsmouth. He slides his hand across the counter and offers you a faded piece of paper. You can barely read the name of the city and the fare.
"You can take it whenever,"
he says.
"I don't think you'll have any problem with seats. Old Joe usually drives 2 or 3 people at a time."
You nod and put it in your pocket. You start to head to the square, valise in hand. Fancy. But the agent stops you. Continue on to 37.
"Wait a second. You should wait for the next bus and spend the night at the station."
The lights from the skies are dimming.
"Old Joe will arrive here after 9 tonight, and then you won't find any buses to take you to Arkham today. There's just one hotel to spend the night in Innsmouth, Gilman House. I've never seen a guest myself, God forbid, but if it's as bad as they say as the rest of the town. Any bad reviews are just gossip. I don't credit a word, though, knowing all that's happened in that town. Who could trust reason? I insist you stay here. You can sleep on any seat. It might be dirty, but the station is a very quiet place. Passengers who take daily trains usually do it. Don't worry, please. You won't be doing anything improper."
You frown and look back at the square. The bus is approaching. What do you do? If you want to sleep at the station, go to 18. If you rather take this bus and sleep at the hotel, turn to 42.
I've never seen a guest in Gilman House, but there's still a hotel open there.
I mean, it's not promising.
Yeah, how in deep do we want to get? Do we want to immediately leap in double feet?
I mean,
or do we want our wits about this?
We just mere moments ago, we decided to just not even go on the trip because it was not, it didn't line up. We're like, nah. Yeah. So I do think our character would probably just sleep at the station.
Sounds good to me.
I'm glad this was your choice,
he says, pushing you aside as he lowers his voice.
Strange things have happened in Innsmouth. There are legends, rumors, gossip. You know how town folk are. Most of the tales might be false, but it wouldn't be the first time someone goes missing in Innsmouth. People there are quite hostile to outsiders. I've heard some horrifying events have taken place in that hotel.
Wide-eyed, you lean in to hear him better.
This fellow, Casey, his name was, left the Gilman house in the middle of the night because he couldn't sleep. He said there were voices down the corridor, noises in the neighboring rooms. However, there was no one else in the building. Isn't that creepy? What was more incredible is he claimed those voices didn't even speak in a language he knew. It was unintelligible, not only in its vocabulary, but also because there was a bubbly quality to its pronunciation, almost as if it was spoken underwater.
A chill runs through you.
Unlike others drawn by the same curiosity, Casey made it out of the town alive. Last I heard from that poor fellow, he'd been admitted to some Arkham Asylum. Don't know if I'd ever seen it.
Good game.
I don't know if you've ever seen it. Such a horrible place. Well, I won't take up any more of your mind. I'm glad you were genuinely cautious.
On to page 19. Thanks, weird man.
You can take the bus anytime you like. Whoa, like, whoa, 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 don't take the bus. What are you, mad?
Come on. Listen to me. Why does nobody ever listen to me? I said take the bus, don't take the bus.
Anyway, on the bus you get.
On the bus with you. Wait. Don't know. Cut back. I'm lonely. You leave your valise in a locker and walk away through the station until you find a comfortable place. The floor is sticky and the walls are wet. You knew that Newburyport was famous for its constant raining, but not for its inhabitants' lack of hygiene. The smell of rotting food and urine permeates the platforms. You walk a long way through the station. Trains come and go until suddenly it all goes silent. You've never been one for being by yourself in a place like this, so you resolve to explore the town. All the tales you've heard about Innsmouth are keeping you awake, and you cannot wait to take the next bus to see for yourself what's so special about it. Hopefully that one is allowed to be taken. Then a brilliant idea occurs to you. You pick up your pace and turn twice to the right. A few moments later, you're standing before a white building. It's the library. Turn to page 45. Nerd. You find few documents about Innsmouth, and apparently they all deal with what the agent told you. It almost seems as if he learned them by heart. You continue reading, though less intensely, by the minute. The only useful information concerns the town's peculiar trade and the mysterious jewels some townsfolk have been seen wearing. You turn the pages devoted to your reading when you find a footnote. The Cultural History Institute of Newburyport opened an exhibition 6 months ago with all the rescued pieces from the Marsh Refinery in Innsmouth.
The collection,
reads the entry,
also includes one of the famous tiaras, as well as a volcanic sample from the reef.
A whistle makes you look up. In the distance, you see a man gesturing you. The library must be about to close. Resigned, you close the documents and leave the building. Still, despite your exhaustion, you can't stop but thinking about the exhibition and the limited time you have in Newburyport. If you want to visit the exhibition, 41, or if you want to go back to the station, 52.
What's at the station? Sticky and wet walls? We're the kind of person who turns two corners and goes, oh, thank hell, a library! I mean, this person immediately goes to the exhibition, right?
Yeah. You take four rights and walk forward. I mean, yeah, let's check the exhibition. You've arrived a few minutes before the closing time of the exhibition, and you find yourself alone in a narrow corridor. Outside by the door, the security guard glances at you warily. You walk down the corridor, looking at the simple carvings that hang from the walls. They all seem to represent different streets and buildings in Innsmouth. Catches your eye, though, that there's not a portrait of anyone important, and that almost no one is represented in the carvings. You try and find the artist's names, but you fail. Suddenly, at the end of the corridor, you see something that catches your undivided attention. On a purple velvet cushion rests a piece of jewelry that you had not seen before. You could guess by its shape that it's a sort of tiara made from an unidentifiable material, yet it's not its composition that impresses you, but its unsettling design. It evokes admiration and fear simultaneously. Its shape, relief, and aspect don't seem to fit of any age, old or new. Nor does it seem to represent any civilization that you know of. Its background, however, depicts a seascape inhabited by a grotesque frogfish monster that does seem to observe each and every one of your moves. All at once, you feel an odd sensation in your chest and a shiver that runs down your back. You can't take your eyes off the jewel, but you can't bear to stand there for a second longer. Turn to page 52. Fatigued and anguished after your walk, you head back to the station and look for a comfortable seat. You feel dizzy after the trip and somewhat angry at yourself. You don't know what causes your odd obsession with Innsmouth. For a second, you think that the agent was just joking. Probably tells the same story to all the newcomers. Many towns feed off of legends rather than trade. You cover your face with your arm and close your eyes to sleep. Then you hear a strange murmur coming from a corner of the station. You stir in your seat, trying to sleep, but the grunt comes again and it's unintelligible and grumpy. Sighing, you open your eyes and you look around to see a figure staggering towards you, muttering a string of unconnected words. You quickly straighten up and watch his approach with a racing heart. Seems it's almost only an old drunk looking for a place to sleep. He zigzags towards you and falls a few feet before he gets to your seat. You stand up to help him, and then, between coughs and snores, you hear him murmur, followed by a number of curses and loose phrases. Your heart does a somersault, again. If you stay to talk with him, turn to page 98. If you'd rather walk away and sleep somewhere else, 42, which I will note does bring us back to a page we could have gotten to earlier.
Oh, interesting. Was it our last division? So just going back
two
to
divisions
the train
back.
Station?
Two divisions back, yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
We can talk to this strange, nice man.
Yeah, sure.
I don't care. What is he going to do? Something bad?
Freak out, I'd guess.
Yeah. The old man drinks from the bottle without getting off the ground. Well, yeah. You carefully lean by his side.
He was snoring a second ago.
That is a full cartoon character. You carefully lean by his side and ask him if he can repeat what he just said. He looks directly at you with deep bulging eyes that are black and watery. Alcohol has made his face appear weather-beaten and miserable. You fear that he'll harm you and then step back. Then he mentions the town's name again, and you notice he tries to sit up. Quickly, you guide him to a seat.
Unclean beasts! Cursed maggots! They won't find me here! How could they if they don't even know who I am?
You hear him say theatrically. Intrigued, you ask him what he means. Who's looking for him?
You don't want to know, boy! I won't infect you with my nightmares. Go away! Flee!
He screams at you, shaking you by the collar of your shirt. You step back and listen carefully. Then the man vomits on the ground and bursts into tears.
Buddy! I'm having a bad night.
Have a bad time there. If you had enough for today, go to page 42. Or if you still want to talk to him, go to page 99.
I think he needs help.
He's the main character. We're nothing.
Just talk to him.
You try and help him sit up and keep... You try to help him sit up and keep drinking. That's what he needs.
He needs a hair of the dog that is currently assaulting him.
It's... Wow. The man looks up and whispers a woman's name. You frown and bend closer to catch any word he might say, and then you see him put his hand in his pocket where he shows you a damaged photograph. You cannot hide your reaction after seeing that face. Her lips are thin and her cheekbones are prominent. Her eyes stand out and her forehead is coarse and pronounced. She wears a number of sumptuous old odd jewels. Despite her appearance, she looks very familiar. Still recoiling, you ask her name again. The drunkard immediately puts a finger to his mouth and requests that you lower your voice, looking from side to side.
She's a marsh now,
he whispers and breaks down in tears again.
What have they made of you? Where did they take you? Finally, I could return to look for you.
You start backing up slowly, hoping the old drunkard won't notice. Then he turns sharply towards you and grabs you tightly.
Do you want to know what the true horror is? Beware the fish from the sea. They're leaving the bottom.
With a quick move, you manage to break free from his grip and take your Valis.
Are you listening to me? Eh? I'm asking you if you know what those things are. Or not.
You leave this old man lying on the ground, shouting and covering his ears with his hands as you bolt out of the station. Turn to page 42.
Also, we're still going to 42. We just got additional information.
No matter what, 42. It also means nothing bad happened.
Hmm.
The sky is clear and cloudless. You're moody and disoriented due to the lack of sleep. I think we're disoriented because of a couple other things, too, at this point.
it's just a lack of the sleep.
Breathless and with a lump in your throat, you make it to the coach before it leaves the square. It's a small vehicle with a decrepit engine that leaves a trail of black vapor behind it. A small sign on the windshield verifies its route. Arkham, Innsmouth, Newport. You sigh and step on in. A thin, stoop-shouldered man with many wrinkles reaches out his hand, and you give him your ticket. Despite what the agent told you, there's no one here except for you and the famous Joe Sargent. You choose the farthest seat and the driver farthest seat for the driver, and you lean your head against the window. You estimate you have 2 hours to rest. Last night's events appear confusing in your mind, and you can hardly separate them from the nightmares that you've been having for the past few days. Turn to 106. After an hour and a half trip, the bus leaves the road and enters town. Low-lying houses and mills line both sides of the road. Most houses have collapsed and the tall weeds have reached the roofs. You drive slowly until you leave the abandoned railway behind. You guess that you're about to arrive and you sit up. Then you feel the driver take a sharp turn and the bus enters a very narrow street. The houses in this area appear older and have cracks in the roofs. All the windows are boarded up and surprisingly you don't see anyone out and about. Finally, the bus stops by a small plaza surrounded by tall, cupola-crowned buildings.
Just a couple of crown buildings.
No people, just a couple of crown buildings. The driver steps down but keeps your door closed. There are only church buildings around you. They seem old. The biggest one, whose dated structures painted in white, has an inscription on the door. The Esoteric Order of Dagon. The bells toll and you see a priest cross the threshold. There's nothing odd or unpleasant about his appearance except for a sort of tiara that adorns his head. Suddenly, it seems very familiar. You feel a knot in your stomach when you see him put his hands out to either side of his head and caress the crown. Then a crowd of youngsters appears, walking on the street. They arrive at the square from every direction. You hide behind the window, but you think that you've already been spotted. They look sick and their feet are dragging. Their cheekbones are prominent, their eyes are black and bulging. Almost no hair grows on their skulls. And if it weren't for the fear and repulsion that you're feeling, you would have noticed that the scales that shine on the head... Yeah, no, I read that right.
Yeah. We didn't notice that, so...
Don't worry about that. If you think it'd be better to leave the bus, turn to 26. If you think it'd be wiser to wait for the driver to return, 86.
I mean, we've been largely playing quite cautious, so I think perhaps it's best to wait for the driver to return.
86. Shortly after the bells have rung, Joe Sargent returns to the bus, carrying a lunch in a brown bag. You're crouched behind your seat with a lump still in your throat. He starts the vehicle, and without checking to see if you're still there, he drives to the main square. The building that stands out the most is a small brown hostel. It seems to be in better condition than the rest of the houses on either side. The bus stops, and it's then that the driver opens the door and turns to look at you. A shiver runs through you, and you practically jump down the bus steps. It's still midday, and there's plenty of time left to take the bus to Arkham. You look around and see nothing but shadowed streets and dark buildings. The windows on the top floors have been boarded up, and there's no one outside. You turn around and talk to Joe, but he's already left the bus and walked down the street to the north. You turn back to look at the hostel and see a sign under the roof, Gilman House. You feel tired and hungry. This seems to be the only place where you might rest. If you wish to enter the hotel, turn to 30. If you'd rather leave and walk around, turn to 72.
Do you have a lean here, Rita?
I don't. What do you got?
Largely for me comes down to the fact that Gilman House has already been mentioned to this character, and the story they heard of it was that I only know one person who came back alive, and he's in an asylum. So perhaps it's best to avoid Gilman House for now.
That does make sense. Let's walk around town.
On 72.
You continue walking down the street to your right. The sun can barely be seen above the town, and all the townsfolk you cross paths with either frown or run away from you. Oh. You start to think that the Innsmouth people are really hostile towards foreigners. Oh, yeah? What, was it the people literally running away from you on the street? Is that what it was that tipped you off?
No, just a vibe.
Just a vibe.
That was a coincidence.
That's just because I smell. You hold on to your valise and walk on. A few feet ahead of you, you hear a grunt. You haven't eaten anything for hours and you feel very weak. You find a local restaurant open, but the fishy smell turns your stomach. Turning, you maneuver down two wide streets until you return to the square. Just opposite it, you see a window of a grocery store. Seems odd that you didn't notice it before, but you walk in without hesitating. Continue to the next page. The boy who runs the grocery seems just a few years older than you, but his mere presence cheers you up. Judging by his features, you'd guess he's not from Innsmouth. You enter and greet him with a wide grin. He tells you that he's been working in town on instructions of the company. He hates almost all of the locals and is deeply bitter. It's not your imagination. The townsfolk refuse to approach foreigners. Hesitantly, you ask him about the disappearances and the events at the hotel. He seems somewhat reluctant to talk at first, but then he tells you what he knows. Turn to the next page.
There were many disappearances almost 20 years ago,
he tells you.
Mostly foreigners, but I don't think anything paranormal was out behind it or something like that. It was mainly men who went out to sea to catch fish. The tide behaves oddly around here. Haven't you noticed the smell of fish? While the shores and harbours lack in fish, Innsmouth has them by the hundreds. Thousands, even. So many fish, you could catch them with your bare hands. But of course, townsfolk wouldn't let a foreigner like you or myself get near their shores. As for the tale about Gilman House, I wouldn't know what to tell you. I haven't worked here for long and I haven't heard much about it. Of course, I don't like gossiping either. I don't know anyone who'd tell me tales around this town. It's a sinister place, that's a given. The owner is a man who's quiet. He's a quiet man, although somewhat more sociable than the rest. But if you're curious to know more about the town, old Zadok Allen's your friend. He comes here for a liquor. He's the oldest drunkard in the town, although he's sure to know more secrets of that the rest of the townfolk combined. He usually walks around the fire station, almost always drunk. He'll tell you anything for a bottle of whiskey.
You nod, grateful, and pack your purchases into your valise. I've never heard that word more.
Same with gelid. Yep. This is just an expansion of our vocabulary.
Exactly.
It's really drilling it in.
Yeah. If you wish to keep investigating 21, if you'd rather wait in the hotel 30.
Zadok Allen, obviously, is the drunkard that we've encountered, because we met him at the station. He does seem to have a lot of information.
That's true.
I wonder if keep on investigating might be bringing him a bottle of whiskey.
Possibly. Because page 30, notably, is a page we could have gone to in the past. So I'm down to give it a shot, 21. More data's data.
Let's do it.
He seems like he needs more alcohol. With some food in your pocket and feeling that you're not alone in town, you leave the grocery and keep on walking. You presume there are many things to see in Innsmouth, and after all, the townsfolk will let you enjoy a quiet walk. But before you get far, the youth calls out to you. Oh no.
Please, sir! Wait! If you're taking a stroll, I'd like to tell you a bit about the area. Although it might seem peaceful at first, the streets have no logical layout. It's easy to get lost in them.
You thank him and wait impatiently while he draws a rough but painstaking sketch of the town's salient features. You're about to fold and put in your pocket when he points to a spot near the shore.
And that's the Marsh Refining Company. It's abandoned now and no one lives there, but I wouldn't recommend you get near. The townsfolk really liked Old Man Marsh, and that place is almost sacred for them.
You nod, frowning, and study the rest of the map.
Okay, so the circle here is where we're standing. This is the church square, and here's the harbour,
he says, sliding his finger over every spot.
I've only drawn in the main streets, but I'd suggest you stick to them. Anything interesting you can find is in these avenues.
You say goodbye and leave the grocery at last. Now you need to decide which way to go. Turn to 23 after studying the map.
Oh, so the map is on 22.
Sort of, yeah. It's not like the normal maps we sometimes get that have, like, the numbers on them and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything really to glean from this?
Only the individual locations, which most of which have been mentioned: the refinery, the Devil Reef, the Innsmouth Harbour. Innsmouth Is that coffee or cafe?
Yeah, it seems like coffee.
The Gilman House, the abandoned station, and then also the poorhouse.
All right, on to the next page, I suppose. Despite everything the fellow at the grocery told you, the map fails to represent the reality of the streets faithfully. It doesn't take you long to get lost. All the houses look the same, and you feel more alone and overwhelmed by the minute. The fishy odor gets stronger as you move ahead, and you realize that you're nearing the harbor. The sea breeze whips your hair when you cross one of the streets, and you see the shore unfolding on the horizon. Many boats are stranded in the harbor, some of them with very deteriorated hulls. The poor state of the fleet surprises you. You suspected that a renowned fishing village would at least have its boats in sound condition. How else would they get their fish? Hands, they told us. They said, you can catch them with your hands. They said so. Your sight is fixed on the horizon, and the other side of the cliff you see a tall white tower, the refinery. Soon you feel excited, and something inside you begs to get closer. When the breeze intensifies and the clouds cover the sky, you start to hear a chant. You look around, but there's no one in sight. The voices are unrecognizable, and you're unable to hear the lyrics. It resembles a mantra, perhaps a spell, rather than a melody. Frightened, you see that far away near the horizon, a black reef starts to appear. You distinguish the silhouettes of some men above it, and you can see rowboats quickly approaching the shore. Turn to three if you decide to keep walking around town, or if you let rather walk away from the shore, 107.
The strike of the hiccups.
I'm scared.
That is a perfect book to be reading in the instance of getting hiccups. We will stumble across an appropriate scene. So let's dive deep into danger, I see, to try and deal with hiccup.
So you think danger on three? Just go head empty, walk forward?
I think so.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because walking away from the shore gets us further away from the Marsh Refinery, further away from the Devil's Reef. These appear to be the key locations.
Yeah. But also we're the same people that said in the book entitled Chat Over Innsmouth, we very first choice was, let's not go to Innsmouth, so...
Yeah.
Let's go to Arkham. The mantra follows you wherever you go, and the rhythm becomes stronger and stronger as you move ahead. All the houses that look the same to you the streets keep getting narrower. You can't find a single open store, and all the windows that all the windows have been shuttered. It looks as if the neighborhood has been abandoned, but you know it hasn't. In the silence, you hear the creaks and voices coming from the houses like moans and howls that communicate from corner to corner. You resort to the map and turn it each and every way. Try as you might, you can't figure out how far from the harbor you really are, or where the hotel is. Judging by the time you've spent walking, you presume that you must be near the square that is surrounded by churches. Before the chant is over, you turn around and continue walking. Turn to page 4. The gray cobblestone pavement leads to the fire station. The fire truck is parked behind the fence, ready to leave. However, something tells you that it's been decades since they last needed it. Somewhat more oriented, you open up your map once again. The fire station is 4 blocks from the main square, so you only need to walk straight and to the right to get there. You sigh, relieved, and continue walking. Suddenly, you see a man with gray hair lying on the ground. There's no doubt about it. It's Zadok Allen, probably. The smell of cheap alcohol and his looks confirm it. He seems to be asleep, though not too drunk. His arm is stretched over his face to protect it from the sun, and he murmurs in the midst of his dreams. You call his name softly, prodding him with your fingers. He changes postures and says something inaudible. You clear your throat and lean over.
Excuse me,
you say, speaking louder this time. Zadok, where did you go? Is Zadok or Zadok? That one feels
like
a little more... Zadok feels a little more Street Fighter.
Yeah.
So Zadok startles and sits up, though he can't see you. Little by little, he stands up and starts wandering around the station, as if searching for something on the floor. You look around and see nothing. The old drunkard has leaned over a bench and seems to be searching around the bushes behind it. Then right next to an old house, you see a bottle of alcohol.
I think you're looking for this,
you shout when you get back to him. The old man looks at you from head to toe as if you were the first human he's ever seen, and takes a sip from the bottle. Turn to page 6. There's a picture of this nice man on page 5. He's got very long, stringy hair. And not a lot of hair in the top middle.
He looks like a very well-used mop that's being stored.
Yeah, who just got a job as like a gravedigger.
Mm-hmm. Off of vibes alone. And he didn't have to get tested.
Yeah, he was a hire off the street. Yeah. I'm a talent scout for TV. Nah. Grave digging.
For the local cemetery, you, sir.
You, sir, have hits.
The makings.
All right, page 6.
Enough from here.
He murmurs.
No, sir, just walking by. How did you know?
Folks like you are easy to spot in Innsmouth. Seems like the whole town has heard about your visit. I don't care.
He says, clearing his throat and sitting down on the bench.
You shouldn't prowl around for too long.
Is it true what they say, that you're a bit hostile towards outsiders?
The old man sighs and takes a long swig from his drink. You're repulsed by the particles that you can distinguish floating in it.
It would be an understatement. They hate him. There's something in the air, like a superior being who's aware of everything we do, think and say, don't you feel it?
You shake your head slowly, pressing your lips together. This is just from Disco Elysium. You can't convince me otherwise.
Pretty much.
I don't want to be this kind of animal anymore. But this town wasn't always like this.
He confesses with a broken voice, giving in to the effects of the alcohol.
It all started with that cursed refinery and its cursed owner. I was living opposite town, you know. Every night I saw our old man Marsh and his comrades return from the reef in small wooden rowboat, left hundreds of black boxes by the shore. They say that was the beginning of the end for Innsmouth, although townsfolk here don't agree. The town had succumbed to the plague, and there was a standing stone. Only Obed's scheming survived, and no one knows how they were managing. Some still think all the riches and jewels belong to a certain pirate cache out in the reef. But I always suspected there was something else behind it all. The jewelry his wives and daughters and his friends wore. Almost supernatural. Their demeanor was distinguished and superior. As if those pieces gave off invincible power.
Turn to page 7.
Some decades later, things started to change around Innsmouth. The newer generations became odder and closed in on themselves. Even their physical appearance has changed. Now they all seem to have marsh eyes. The same straight, scanty hair and the same serious countenance. And you won't see anyone as old as me walking the streets, boy. They're all hidden, waiting their time.
You look around, startled, when you hear the chants getting near you.
Oh, look! They're here! They think they can keep me quiet with their rituals and control me like they've controlled everything, but no! They can't harm me!
He shouts.
I too signed that oath!
He goes on, getting closer to you.
They won't dare harm one of them! I didn't sign the last one. That's why I'm here talking to you while they remain hidden, waiting to take to the water. I'm free from that curse, boy. And that's why they keep an eye on me. They are on the lookout for everything I do and say. They know. I know Innsmouth's history perfectly well. And they're scared alcohol might make me talk more than necessary.
He laughs and drinks the last drops. You're amazed at the rate at which the level of alcohol has decreased since you started talking.
But the townsfolk couldn't do anything to me. They can't if they don't prove to them that it was on purpose. And for that, buddy, I have my alcohol as an alibi.
Turn to page 8.
Things started to change around Innsmouth when I was still a boy. I lived with my father near the harbour, and each night I saw the rowboat set out to sea. I knew about Obed, everyone in town knew, although few knew how he looked. Back then, there were little to no fish on our shores. Our domestic trade had never worked well, and the wave of sickness we'd been through had left us lacking strength. It was then that Obed Marsh ventured out to the sea for a year to escape town. He wanted to find riches beyond the horizon to extend his refinery's commerce. During one of these trips, he met a savage tribe with horrible looks that took him in. At first, he thought of them cannibals, though he then realized they only ate fish. An exquisite fish, they say. Sometime later, he noticed the most good-looking among the youngsters disappeared overnight, and there were a few old people among their members. He talked to the chief of the tribe about it, who days prior had mocked his faith, claiming it was better to pray to more real gods. In a moment of intimacy, this man, Walakia, confessed that they worshipped gods that came from the sea and had a pact with them. From time to time, they would exchange youngsters for enough fish to feed generations.
Keep on listening to Zadok on page 9.
After some time, the Deep Ones proposed a deal to have their wives mix bloods with them to make a better species. A species of normal-looking men born on the land who'd soon become like them. I know full well Obed was impressed by that revelation, and he was ready to believe the chief. For they say that what caught his attention about the tribe was that, since the beginning, he'd seen their members resemble fish with arms and legs, like scale-covered frogs. And some sailors who traveled with him even claimed they had gills.
No.
I don't know what went through his head, but he instantly wanted to know more about the Deep Ones, about how to contact them. I have no idea if he managed to. But upon returning to Innsmouth, he was a very different man. He was reluctant to be seen in public due to his appearance, which had turned monstrous since his arrival, and he'd only left home to go to the reef. He married another girl who no one ever saw. They had 3 children. The youngest girl was seen many times wearing those jewels from the reef. I only know they married her to a man from Ullicombe.
You feel helpless when Zadok starts screaming and writhing on the ground, covering his ears. Between moans, he asks you to leave. You feel they're close. Run to page 15. That's the most unbroken exposition we've gotten from a character, and it's great.
That also, like, you called it halfway through the first page that this is, like, the most Disco Elysium guy. Yeah, yeah. My man! 100%!
Yeah, I have
this. This is just Harriet Dubois.
I know everything about this block. I could tell you every single thing that's ever happened here. And I will! And then I'm going to start screaming. Anyways. You're still feeling fatigued, and your heart is beating so fast that it might burst out of your chest. You've crossed the street with the churches and walked half of Innsmouth neighborhoods nonstop. The clock signals that at last the bus will take you to Arkham, and will arrive in a few minutes. But it seems like you're never going to make it to the square. All your worries dissipate when you see the bus parked in front of the grocery. You can't help smiling as you run, panting, and even tearing up. You don't really understand the story that the old drunkard was telling you, and you certainly don't know if all of it was true, but you're eager to leave the city and can think of all the anecdotes that you have to tell. Turn to page 16. The end. No. You wipe the sweat off of your forehead and look around. The square seems quiet, but to your surprise, no one else is waiting for the bus. Hesitantly, you approach the driver. He's a serious-looking man, doesn't seem to be from Innsmouth, and that relieves you. You ask him straight away where you might be able to buy a ticket, and when you'd be arriving at Arkham. After Zadok's tales, you've completely forgotten about your trip. He frowns and looks at you from head to toe. His first thought, you assume, is that you're not from Innsmouth, and that seems to unsettle him. You don't know why, but they're all surprised you've been wandering around town for so long. He looks from side to side and suddenly closes the door.
I'm afraid the bus is broken. I'm not getting the part I need until tomorrow. I can't drive like this, so I'm sorry.
You're taken aback by this reply, and a feeling of anguish overwhelms you as you try and remain calm. You ask him where you could take another bus.
Actually, I'm the only one taking this route, but don't worry, it'll be fixed in the early morning hours tomorrow. Of course, the trip will be free of charge. Company policy.
He smiles at you. Somewhat dizzy and tense from after the run, you look around, trying to figure out what kind of tasteless joke this is. The driver seems to read your mind and adds,
You can spend the night in the hotel over there. It's very cheap, and there's always vacancies.
He shrugs.
That's all I can do for you.
Jump ahead to page 30, a page of the week. Could have been before, interestingly enough.
Yeah, this is headed back to the hotel, I can only imagine. So that was a full detour from the hotel path.
We have all of the lore that you could ever need about everything that's going to be going on, because I do think that he's telling the truth, because this is 100%. This kind of book. The people who sound the most off their rocker are the most on their rocker.
Exactly. I wonder if we might end up having a structure similar to something that we found near the end of the last book, where, like, the Golden Tablet interaction specifically, where it didn't really tell us that we'd done something that was going to affect a future choice, but in the future, it asks us, if you interacted with a Golden Tablet, you can go to X.
Yeah.
I wonder if you've interacted with Zadok, you X, Y, or Z. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, we shall see.
The first thing that crosses your mind when you reach the hotel is that perhaps it wasn't a great idea to go there. Oh, dozens of people look at you from the tables at the cafe by the lobby. They pretend to ignore you, moving their spoons around. But you hear them gossip as you get closer. Their voices are low, but try as you might, you are unable to understand what they say. The man at the counter greets you, nodding his head, and hands you a key as if he was expecting you.
The bus at the square... Broken!
He interrupts. And you feel every eye in the cafe fixed on you.
I know. I'm just wondering when it'll be ready to leave.
Tomorrow, early morning,
he hisses. You frown. He's a completely bald man with Innsmouth-like features and an unpleasant attitude.
Oh, that's an insane read. Innsmouth-like features.
You don't dare turn around and look for a better place to sleep. So you thank him, pay for your room, and take the key. Climb up the stairs to page 51. Bald, Innsmouth-looking man. You finally made it.
I love the...
Yeah.
I love this first sentence.
You finally made it. You're in the Gilman house.
We tried to avoid it at every step.
We did it. Congrats. You still can't take in all that's happening, and you're looking forward to leaving this damned town. The room you've been given is small and barely furnished, but you don't mind. You walk to the window to ensure that no one's prowling around, then check to see that it's safely locked. There's a door on either side of the room, and next to one of these is your bed. You walk to the right door and open it stealthily. Through the crack, you can see it leads to another room, vacant for now. But this does not put you at ease, so you lock it. The other door, however, is blocked from the inside. Still, you lock it as well. You need only to block the corridor door... And then you can rest. You check it, but to your horror, you can see that the lock has been removed. Skip to page 91.
Corridor door horror!
Oh no, the corridor door horror! No!
Or nor!
Or nor! Someone has been in your room. And recently. For a moment, you're overwhelmed by an odd feeling of insecurity and paranoia. You're considering carrying your things to the adjacent room, which must surely have a lock on the door, and blocking it from the inside, when you hear a creaking sound coming from the staircase and a squeak from the corridor. It scares you to think about it, but it sounds like someone has occupied the room next door. So stealthily, trying to keep your breathing quiet, you examine the room, considering your possibilities. You get an idea. Block the door by dragging the wardrobe. Not wasting a single second, you grab a hold of the heavy piece of furniture from the top. And from one side. You barely moved it a couple inches when you feel your fingers rub against a metallic piece that's on top of the wardrobe. You push it with one finger till it hits the ground, and you're relieved when you see what it is. A small metallic lock, screws still in, has fallen beside your feet. You take out your small pocket knife and fit the lock into the hole in the door. 2 or 3 minutes later, you have the main entrance blocked. Return to page 20. More at ease and a bit proud, convinced that your precaution and wit have saved you, you lie in bed. You've removed only your shirt and shoes. You don't intend to sleep. No sane person would. Even less after what you've been through and what you've been told about this place. You check the time to estimate how many hours are left until the next bus leaves. It's fewer than you thought. You get out a short adventure book from the pocket of your valise and try and read. It's goosebumps. It's been almost 2 hours and you're still staring at the same page. You rub your eyes. What's up?
You need to turn to... That's the whole thing about those
books.
Yeah,
I know. It's the whole thing about most books. I would put
that sounds true. It's the whole thing about anything that's not a pamphlet.
And even that, like, you can flip it over a lot of times. You rub your eyes, you can't tell what, but something unsettles you. You remember the story of the agent at the station. You remember the story the agent at the station told you, and everything you've heard about Innsmouth, and you can't help but be on the lookout for any sound. The voice inside your head tells you that something is about to happen. Try as you might, you cannot stop thinking about those tales. Keep on reading on page 27. You are so convinced that something creepy would happen that the first moan you hear down the corridor doesn't even startle you. It sounds like a cry, a hiss coming from somewhere deep down. Slowly, you close the book and sit up on the bed. The moan comes again, more intense this time, and you realize that whatever it is near your room. You hear the sound of a key being inserted into your lock, and when it's in, the door is pushed forcefully, but fortunately, the bolt holds. You hear a grunt that terrifies you. You hope that it's a disoriented guest that just happened to get the wrong room? Another noise unsettles you, and you notice in horror that now someone is trying to open the door to the left. You're relieved when the bolt holds as well. Whoever it is cannot get in. You can't stay here. You have to hurry and pack your things, put on your shoes. There's no denying it. They're coming for you. Continue to page 49.
Room service.
No! No! No intrusion!
Did you order the lobster?
Anyway, you hear the wood creaking again. They move away from the door and go to the corridor once more. Ooh. The footsteps get further away and you hold your breath. You look around quickly and think that maybe the most sensible way of escaping might be the door to the left, but the mere thought of getting into a room that was visited by a creature who could howl in such a way makes your insides twist. Now there has to be another way. But a squeak makes you turn around. Someone has pushed aside the furniture that's blocked the right door and is trying to get in. This time you hear more howls, more moans, more voices. You try and figure out what they're saying, but their tongue seems to belong to no known language. It's just a matter of time before they get in. Go to 67 to escape through the window, or 46 if you'd rather just hide.
Somehow I don't imagine hiding will work.
Usually doesn't.
All right, let's defenestrate ourselves. We tried to walk through the window before. Let's do it. Let's do it this time.
Yeah, the fall leaves. The fall leaves your layer. I was like, fall leaves. I'm very autumn-minded right now. The fall leaves your legs wobbling for a few seconds. You turn around and discern shadows in the room. Quickly, you grab your Valis. Good God. Your gelid Valis.
Valis mentioned. Woo!
Your gelid Valis. And hide between the shadows of the neighboring buildings, the howls becoming more intense. And you hear the replies coming from the corner of town. Suddenly, you forget about the bus and your trip to Arkham. The best thing you can do for now is consult the map and continue towards the Newburyport on foot, or whichever road will take you. And leave the harbor behind you. They've started to leave the building. You can feel it. You carry your Valis, on your back and move through the most desolate neighborhoods in Innsmouth. You walk pressed against the walls, hiding at any sound, but you soon realize that you stand out too much, for only a foreigner like you would carry so much stuff. With your stomach in a knot, you get your wallet, your pocket knife, the map, your Beanie Baby collection, your... And you leave everything else behind. A dumpster.
Ooh, did I bring my smithing anvil?
Hold on. I've got 3 bags of herbalism mats. Okay.
I can't leave my set of collectible bowling balls. They're signed by Arnold Palmer.
The road becomes more dangerous as you move ahead, and frequently you cross paths with folks from Innsmouth. They all drag their feet, almost limping, and you decide to imitate them to blend in. Well, maybe don't do that. That's a little insensitive. Luckily for you, the fog is dense and your appearance does not attract much attention, so you're not canceled. But regardless of your progress, you can't leave the howls and moans behind you. As you walk faster and faster, you can't help but ask yourself whether you're being chased by townsfolk or by... sea creatures. The grunts and voices push you towards the harbor where the reef rises above the waves. You feel a weight on your chest. It's your collection of bowling balls. You know that you shouldn't get any closer. You look around, the rocks from the harbor are your only choice. The voices close in like a gurgle, like underwater cries. You turn your eyes to the sea and see a narrow path that zigzags between the rocks of the cliff. If you think it's best to follow that path, 24, if you'd rather hide in the harbor, go to 105.
Well, frankly, I don't think any of these are a good idea.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea. I mean, they're going to... I think that they're going to find us in the harbor.
Absolutely.
We might as well get more information on 24 and die somewhere cooler.
Let's do it. What's going on, Dagon?
Reaching the path proves harder than it seemed. The pattern of waves becomes more aggressive the closer you get to the sea, and the chants are more intense. For a moment, you think you're doomed. If you don't drown in the waves, at some point, these creatures will emerge from the sea and take you with them. You continue walking until lightning illuminates a signpost to your right, Arkham. Overcome with joy, you begin to move faster. The more you walk, the less intense Innsmouth's roar is, and the farther away the clouds seem to get. Continue to 25. It's been 6 months since you visited the town of Innsmouth, and you still haven't been able to talk to your family about it. The tales you heard about this town, which you've shared with the government officials, will still haunt most of your nightmares. Even though they searched the town and interrogated the people, no one could find the whereabouts of everyone you talked to. At times you believed you were never there. However, sometimes you're still able to smell fish, though you can't trace where the odor comes from. So for now, this is the end. And probably a good ending for this book. I would imagine this is going to be our canonical good ending.
Well, I will say this is like a lot good ending, but yeah. Like the very first choice to just go to Arkham instead, as it turns out, is just this, but we don't have nightmares. So like,
yeah,
that one's still
that
good
one is
up.
Better.
Like, in that one, we wonder what Innsmouth could possibly be like. In this one, we can't even communicate anything about what it was like.
Yeah, and we smell fish forever. That sucks.
Yeah. I have heard about, there's like a metabolism, liver kind of condition that people can have where they just start to smell like fish. And oh my god, what a nightmare for those people. I can only imagine, like... But I'm away from the harbor.
Oh, you're harboring Why? The sense of the harbor, however.
I haven't been in Innsmouth in 6 months.
Do you want to humor what the other path would be?
For sure.
105 if we try and hide.
Hide in the harbor, exactly. I thought the path we were taking would lead into a temple underwater. Basically,
yeah.
I thought
yeah.
we were going in.
I thought we were going to be in like a, you know, like a raid or something. Like we're going to get some loot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. All right, 105. The ship stranded on the shore becomes your shelter. You run towards and crawl inside a hole in the hull, and you hear the chants coming from the reef again. But you're too scared to look. The sea is still rough, but it seems the howls from the town have died down. You feel your lids closing with your first yawn. You can hardly stay alert, although whether due to the tension of the past events or the sound of the waves, you just don't know. Return to 79 if you believe you should remain vigilant, or stand 55 or if you'd rather just, like, I don't know, fall asleep.
Return to 79? Did we come from 79?
I don't think so. Maybe? Did we?
We did not. I'll clear up any confusion there.
Well, then let's go there, I guess.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, falling asleep in something like this is not usually something like, I sleep now, you know, but hey, maybe. You will not let sleep overtake you. You're too scared. So which one is it?
Valiantly, you decide not to sleep because you're anxious.
Because you've looked at the clock too many times and now all you can think about is trying to sleep.
100%. That was me at 3:30 this morning, yeah. Looking at my alarm going, that's happening in 2 hours.
Yeah. What if they rise to the surface when you're off guard? What if they're there, stalking you until you fall asleep? With your nerves on edge, you look at the crack of the hull and your eyes are fixed simultaneously on the town and on the reef. Every once in a while, you turn your head to the interior hull, startled. You regret not carrying a flashlight. The weak lightning bolts that flash from time to time will have to do. Continue to page 93. Finally, when it all seems to be quieting down, you hear the sailors' chants gain intensity. The howls from the townsfolk continue. Your stomach rebels, and you retch. A legion of ships come at you from the sea. You're cursing yourself for remaining there. And then you make out the shapes of numerous heads swimming towards you among the ships. Soon the heads reveal anthropomorphic bodies that rise up from the water and walk. The sight is repulsive, apart from having deformed arms and legs moving by hopping and flopping. They're clad in scales and sport gills down their throats. The howls from the town get nearer, and soon a whole legion of deep ones invades the beach. You can't bear it any longer, and you pass out. 55, you go to sleep. Screw you.
Oh, okay. I wonder if we would have been able to bear it if we'd slept before.
Well, this is the same page.
Or if we just would have woken up as part of the procession.
This is the page on if we, like, slept on purpose.
Oh, right. Okay, yes, yes, yes. Got it.
The first light of dawn seeps through the cracks and illuminates the inside of the hull. You open your eyes with a start, but you cannot see anything around you. The hull is empty and the beach is desolate. You crawl on all fours until you reach the shore, and you stare at the horizon. There's not a trace of the reef, and the town seems completely deserted. Dizzy and confused, you ask yourself if yesterday's events were but a nightmare. Then you check, and yes, it was. No. And then you check, and indeed, your valise and some of your clothes are missing. Wait, no. What do you mean? Woo, our valise is missing.
Hmm? No, it's just valise mentioned. I'm sorry it's gone.
You don't know if it'd be smart to search the town for them. What you do know is you should leave Innsmouth as soon as possible. So it sounds like you do know if it'd be smart to search for them.
Hmm.
If you'd rather leave the town on foot, turn to 88. If you want to take the bus, skip to 63.
Okay. I've got a heavy lean on this one, if you'd like.
Don't do it.
Every single time we've tried to get a bus out of here,
that's true.
Someone has just stood there and said, nah, bus is broken, isn't it? So, you know, get back.
Bad luck, ain't it? Mm. Yeah, 88.
Oh, it's a Wednesday? Yeah, bus doesn't work on days that end in day, so.
Yeah, this is good old foot powder, like the, you seen Flintstones? This is foot powder, and I'm tired. Sorry. Bus don't work today. You cannot decide if this has been a good experience or a bad one. Oh, I can. You wanted to travel to test yourself, get to know new places, and find yourself. Whatever young man your age would want. But what you do know is that you wouldn't want to go back to Innsmouth for anything in the world. Sounds like it was a bad experience, and you know that. You look around and finally locate the path that leads along the cliff. Trudging slowly down the rocks, you soon get close enough to decipher the wooden sign that says Arkham. Keep walking to page 90.
Now look, you can't decide if it's good or bad, but you are traumatized by it.
You hated every second of it, do not like that it happened, and would never like it to happen again. But you're not really sure if it was a good or bad thing yet. The tales you heard about this town still haunt most of your nightmares, and from time to time you're still able to smell fish, though you can't trace where it comes from. Apart from that, you lead a completely normal life, for now. The end. I mean, that's a good ending too!
I guess it, like, the bad endings are all along the line where we go to sleep and get taken into the temple of some such or something like that.
Yeah, we're just like, we get to have a relatively normal life. That's sick. Let's humor, just because I did a little bit of a peeky poo. Let's go humor 63. Wait, is 63 what I'm thinking of? Is that the bus? Yes.
Yes.
Let's just add a little bit of a look-see. Let's just humor 63, because I do not think it's going to add much time. The roads seem brighter and quieter than you remember. Fortunately, you still have the map with you, and soon you're oriented and approaching the square. It's early, and you hope the bus is about to arrive. You're considering the possibility of spending a few minutes filing a complaint at the hotel. What do you know?
Yeah, let's go back to the hotel.
Yeah, that's important. It's important. Room service was really squelchy last night.
Oh, sorry, it slipped my mind. Also, people tried to break in.
Yeah. You're considering the possibility of spending a few minutes filing a complaint at the hotel when you notice a mass of people gathered in the square. Actually, it's less than 10 in all, and it wouldn't stand out if you hadn't spied one of them carrying your valise. Scared you. You have some valise fans. The crowd. Scared you.
It's a luggage bag.
Woo! We all know. Scared you hide behind.
The whole crowd is just holding up their valises.
Scared you hide behind some barrels and observe carefully. They all look around trying to find you. You want to think that they just wish to return your belongings to you, but something inside you insists it'd be better to remain unseen. The bus to Arkham appears and parks in the square. You see the bus driver approaching the grocery. And it's then that all the townsfolk get agitated. Some scatter through the nearby streets looking for you. Some minutes later, the bus leaves, along with your chances of getting to Arkham. As it departs, you see in horror how the townsfolk scatter around, howling. And soon the whole town answers back. Quickly, take cover on page 95.
So we're hiding, and then the bus arrives and leaves.
Yeah, it just shows up and then leaves immediately. This is that SpongeBob episode for those that have partaken, where the bus keeps showing up and then leaving, like every time he walks away from the bus stop. Like, oh. An irrational fear runs through your body. For some reason, you think that you're not safe. For some reason, you think you're not safe in town. And believe you'll never manage to leave. Could it be the fact that we've tried a lot of times and can't? You step back and hide behind a door.
No, I still don't know how I feel about that.
You heard a grunt. A group of youngsters hop down from the bus and shamble towards the Masonic Hall. You sigh relieved and wipe the sweat off your forehead. You're aware that your only escape option is to remain hidden until you find a chance to flee. Just the thought of it makes you dizzy. You take a breath and leave your hiding place carefully. Some of the youths cross paths with you, and you bump into one of them. You look up when you notice that your body is covered in sticky, black goo. The boys have their eyes on you, and you realize there's nothing human about them. You close your eyes and cover your face. Your last thoughts recall the stories told by the agent about all the outsiders who visited Innsmouth and never made it out alive. The end. There is a possibility of getting a bad ending, for sure, on this route.
Oh, absolutely.
We just dodged it pretty well, I guess, in our canonical, actual playthrough.
Yeah, it seems we got as close to the flame as we possibly could without burning ourselves too badly.
Yeah. Well, dang. I liked that one.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a nice, cozy, gross town.
Yeah. It definitely feels like the structure of the novel, like The Shadow of Rinsmith, like behind this one, was much more instructive to its format. Like, it didn't want to give us a map here to check, like, a bunch of different places. It wanted to just give us a map of, like, this is information about the town.
This is thing. These are words that you'll be able to know.
Mm-hmm. And which makes it, like, a lot more cohesive, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I really enjoyed it. Obviously, we got through it, like, a bit more concisely and effectively. But that doesn't mean that it wasn't very, very evocative anyways. I felt very present in the city. I feel like I could picture it quite well. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. I'd partake in a tabletop RPG there, for sure.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, bring me.
I've played the what's called Cthulhu? I think it's called. I've played the tabletop for it. It's really enjoyable.
Well, now I have. A thing I forgot to mention up top before we pivot out is just a cool thing. When I was looking to go and buy this book today, there was a little announcement that said that books number 7, 8, 9, and 10 are all going to be kickstarted in October, which is wild that we just happened to start reading these now, and then there's going to be a Kickstarter while we are uploading this season. That being said, will the books be out for a while? Probably not, but that's just really cool. So, like, we'll be able to signal boost that and stuff, but, like, keep your eyes out for it. You know, the Choose Cthulhu Kickstarter, be fun to be able to, you know, push some support over that way. And obviously we'll read those books when they're out. That's very fun. Very exciting.
I almost wonder how long it will take, because the books, as they are, you know, shown on the thing,
they have covers,
authors, and titles. Like, the fact that they have authors and, like, co-authors means, is it not written? I don't know.
Yeah, it might be. It might be a Kickstarter for like distribution. I wouldn't be surprised if that was the thing. Like,
I've seen more and more of them over the years.
That's been happening a lot, where it's like basically a bona fide, like, sale, or like get a discount on these books while helping support and, like, cutting risk from production or whatever. But very, very cool. I mean, we're reading them digitally regardless, so, like, but still, either way, I've been really, really enjoying these, and I'm so glad to see that there's going to be four more of them, because there's six in the series. We're going to read these six. We'll see what happens for when those other stinkers get released, and I'm sure we'll read them when they're out, either, like, when they're all out, or we'll figure it out. We'll see, depending on what happens, obviously.
And, of course, we'll make sure to mention in October when this does launch.
When the Kickstarter's up, yeah. The first show that goes out when the Kickstarter's up, we'll mention that, of course, but I'm definitely going to be back. That's very cool. You know what else is very cool? Supporting our podcast financially instead of just the Kickstarter. That's also a thing you can help support. And who is the lovely producer for this episode who has done just that, Raps?
flipping a 720 kickflip double grunt over over a half pipe in the X Games while wearing four pairs of sunglasses and a helmet, because that's cool too, is Alex K, our special executive producer of the episode. Thank you to the coolest Alex K.
You're the coolest,
appreciating. We appreciate you, but thank you for supporting, I believe is the word I was looking for.
Thank you for appreciating us. We appreciate you for that.
We appreciate your appreciation.
Yeah.
And appreciation we have to show our appreciation for it.
Yeah. I do want one of your pairs of sunglasses, please. Thank you.
It does seem like a lot.
It's excessive. I'm not going to lie.
You could spare one.
My retinas are burning. Please. Thank you. Thank you, Alex K. Huge thank you. And thank you to all the wonderful Patreon supporters over at patreon.com/turn2pagecast. Big, important thing that support over there. It really, really is. We are, purchasing every book in this season right here, every single time. We're reading these digitally. Last season we purchased the physical books, all kinds of stuff that we need to financially, our funds up for, and thus, probably not a surprise, this podcast is not making money. It's doing the opposite. It's doing the thing that's the opposite of making money. So your support on Patreon would be wonderful, as it would just make it, either closer to breaking even, or if there was a chance that we could ever start to recoup some stuff, that'd be very, very cool to help keep this show going and being more consistent for longer, et cetera, et cetera. And other than that, you can help support the podcast for free. There's a couple ways. youtube.com/@turntopagecast is a wonderful way right now if you want to go over there and subscribe. If you have not, when we hit 1,000 subscribers, we will be able to monetize that channel. That is another nice way to help, support the channel as well. Likes, comments, all the stuff over there, as well as reviews on whatever service you listen to this podcast on. And hey, since we're going through the whole gauntlet, if you want to share it with a friend, that's genuinely one of the best ways to help a podcast grow is if you go, hey, I know somebody who this is their type of jam, or one of these seasons is their type of jam. Link them that season, link them the podcast, et cetera, et cetera. It's all very helpful. Hey, any other thoughts? You got anything else? Or
nothing in particular other than I'm looking forward to next week's, which can we drop a little tease of what next week's is?
Next week's books? Yeah, for sure. Because people, they could just find out just by looking. So yeah, I think we could tease it. What is it?
I'm just stalling to try and bring it up. Oh, 404 page not found. Never mind.
I thought you wanted to talk about it because you were really excited about what the next book was.
I wanted to get excited about what the next book was.
You know what, Revs? You can get excited because the next one is The Nameless City.
See?
Unless I spoil the joke. Unless the whole joke was that you couldn't find the name and then I ruined it.
I wish that was the case.
Anyways, that's that. That's going to do it here for today for Turn to Page. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Adios.